Good morning. This is Alice Hamilton with Hudson Mohawk Indie Media Radio. And today we're really excited to have two folks who worked on the video and DVD that Hudson Mohawk produced quite a few years ago, Independent Media in a Time of War. We have Elizabeth Press, who is now on Democracy Now!, and Andrew Lynn, who is the Youth Education Coordinator for Manhattan Neighborhood Network. So, good morning, Elizabeth and Andrew.
It's good to be with you.
Good morning.
And they're here to tell us about their independent filmmakers that have made a new film called Still We Ride the Movie that is going to be screened up in this area on Thursday, October 27th. So welcome back, really, to Elizabeth and Andrew.
Yeah, thanks. So, yeah, we're going to be coming up there to show this movie that we produced called Still We Ride.
And why don't you tell us about it? Tell us about the group Still We Ride.
Well, it's a documentary that we produced that's about what has been going on in New York City around a bicycle ride called Critical Mass and the ongoing crackdown that's happened since the Republican National Convention in August of 2004.
So in August, August 27th to be exact, of 2004, there was 264 cyclists arrested during the Critical Mass ride. Now, Critical Mass started a long time ago, actually, not a long time ago, but in 1992 in San Francisco, and since then it spread all around the world. It started in New York in 93. It's been escorted by the police and really tolerated for about 11 or 12 years.
Yeah, Albany and actually has a chapter.
Yeah, and we've both ridden in the Albany Critical Mass, which was kind of our introduction to it, actually. But interestingly, they arrested, the August ride coincided with the RNC and resulted in
the Republican National Convention.
Yeah, and resulted in a lot of arrests. And people kind of thought that, you know, things would get back to normal and the police might begin to tolerate the ride again. But to the contrary, they've been arresting people in varying numbers every month since then up until the present.
I think the number is somewhere around 650 arrests since August in New York City. So it's an ongoing struggle that there are actually no concrete places to point a finger to, and that's what people are trying to figure out right now.
So the movie that we're bringing and touring around with, we've actually been in England recently and Berlin, and Elizabeth just got back from Budapest. There's a lot of people around the world that are really eager to see what's going on with New York, because it's kind of made the indie media scene through the internet and whatnot. It's about 37 minutes long, and whenever we present it, we show a presentation that really contextualizes the events. Gives a lot more information, and we have a bunch of shorts that we've collected from all around the world. Bicycle specific shorts.
And the crux of what the group does is try to call out for public transportation and for bike riding to have rights, right?
Right. Well, basically, it's a space where once a month cyclists can feel comfortable and can go out on the streets and have a place where they feel safe to be able to ride their bikes. As a bike commuter, I ride daily in New York City, and as do many people in cities around the world, and it's dangerous. There's a lot of cars. There's not all the infrastructure that you would need, so people go out because it's a fun event. People go out because some people go out to protest car culture. Some people go out for a whole sort of variety of reasons, and it's a fun happening. And, you know, you can meet up with other cyclists, and, you know, it's a
place. People make some funky bicycles, too, right? I've seen some around the village, right?
Yeah, there's actually tall bikes and chopper bikes and all sorts of displays, you know, that you could put flowers on your bike or a silent protest with a sign, or, you know, really it's kind of a nice display and place where people can show off interesting new bicycles.
I mean, one important thing also to understand about Critical Mass is that there's not really organizers for the ride, and that's really at the heart of kind of what's making this a difficult crackdown operation for the police. I mean, it's advertised and promoted by groups all across the city. So it really follows this pattern of non-hierarchical organization that's difficult to put a finger on from the police's perspective.
And now the people that were arrested at the Republican National Convention, did those arrests actually stand up? I thought the ACLU had been pretty successful in getting most of them dismissed.
Actually, some of the arrests in some ways did stand up. People were charged with a couple of charges. One of them was parading without a permit, and one of them was disorderly conduct. The National Lawyers Guild has been working really hard at rallying behind cyclists and supporting cyclists and defending them in court. And there's been some cases ruled in the positive and some cases where people have been found guilty of one or both of those charges.
Most of the mass dismissals of cases were around other protests that had to do other protests against the RNC. The cycling protests have stood up more so than, like, for instance, there was a big protest at the World Trade Center that the War Resisters League organized, and there was a lot of inadvertent arrests of people who were penned in and didn't have anything to do with the protest, and general, like, it was a permitted thing in part, so, you know, a lot of those, and that's what you read about in the paper, where there was mass dismissals of arrestees. For the most part, the ones that have gone through court for August cycling arrests have stood up to an extent, which is unfortunate and ridiculous on some level. There's also they offer everyone a plea to get out of having to go through court, which basically creates a situation where they can continue the cycle of arrests without filling up the courts and without any repercussions in terms of like having to deal with mass amounts of court cases that they don't really have evidence to back up.
And all those arrests kind of were the night before the Republican National Convention actually opened, from what I remember?
Well, actually, it was Friday night, so it was as the critical mass would normally occur.
That's their normal time, right?
Right, on the last Friday of every month, and it just happened to be that, again, critical mass fell on August 27th, which was the Friday before the Republican National Convention started. So people were coming to town and starting to gather in terms of people coming to voice their opposition to the Republican National Convention taking place in town, and, you know, delegates were starting to arrive as well. But whether the Republican National Convention was going to happen or not, the critical mass ride was going to take place that night here in New York City, as it always did.
And it resulted in the biggest critical mass ever for New York. It was around 5,000 people gathered, which was, you know, quite a display of people power as far as the police are concerned. You know, since with all of the arrests and everything, the numbers have really dwindled. But people are still coming out, which is important, because it's important for people to stand up for their right to ride their bicycle without applying for a permit, which is really the main issue here.
So how did you get the footage? You were there at the first ride in this series of harassed rides.
Right. Well, we've whenever we're in town, we try to participate in the critical mass rides on the last Friday of the month. And actually, that Friday, I think we were both filming, as were many people filming that night, and we were involved in, I was producing a segment for Democracy Now! The next Monday, and also we are also working with Indie Media New York City on a one-hour show, which was called Unconventional TV, where independent videographers would cover the happenings in the streets throughout the week and produce a one-hour show at the end, each day. So a lot of people were filming and gathering footage and participating in different edits for that program. And so we were filming, and we knew a lot of other people who were filming. So it kind of started out with the Indie Media Network and connecting with other videographers and seeing the array of footage that was out there around that night, and we started out where Andrew and I cut a piece called Unconventional Critical Mass, and it was about a 10-minute piece solely about that night of August 27th and what happened on the streets, and then the follow-up of what happened when people were detained for up to 40 hours in a place called Pier 57 before that they were brought down to the tombs and charged with any charges. So, yeah, that's how we started out, and then it grew from there.
Well, it sounds like a great message to be getting out. Do you think there's a broader message within the film?
I mean, you know, I wrote recently in some sort of publicity that we were sending out via email that this film might just be a wake-up call to anyone who still thinks we're living in a free society. And I think on some level that's the broader message, that, you know, there's a lot of sort of behind-the-scenes organizing going on the part of the police and the state to really crack down on any opportunity for people to dissent. And Critical Mass is just one example of a forum and a venue where people have organized themselves really without any sort of main organizing body to come out and take back the streets for really a variety of reasons. And so it's a perfect example of something that in a police state can really not be tolerated. So I think the broader message is of things to come and for people to keep their heads up and, you know, really start to realize what's going on whenever something like Critical Mass, which, you know, has such a broad variety of political messages, is attempting to smash it on a monthly basis.
Yeah, bike riders. I mean, we are talking
right.
Bicycle riders.
Yeah.
It's not really the most threatening thing in the
no.
in the universe. You have a website?
We do. It's www.stillweridethemovie.com.
And this is Alice Hamilton with Hudson Mohawk Indie Media Radio. We're speaking with Andrew Lynn and Elizabeth Press about their upcoming screening of Still We Ride. And that's going to be at the Sanctuary for Independent Media, which is on 101st Street and 5th and 6th Avenue, where they mush together in North Troy. And it's a really neat setting. I think this can be a really great screening and a really good film. And we're really excited to be having Elizabeth and Andrew come back to Troy with what sounds like a really important artwork.
Great.
So, anything you folks want to add?
No, I don't know. We're excited to come back up to Troy too, and excited to be one of the sort of first events, or third or fourth event, I guess, in the independent sanctuary. So.
Yeah, we actually had a chance to see it right when the Hudson Mohawk Independent Media Center actually was first looking at the space. So
and it's preliminary grubbiness.
Yeah, so it's going to be actually wonderful to see it in a functioning.
And a less grubby. Yes, less grubby. And, I think it'll be a really neat place for your event. And the website for that is thesanctuaryforindependentmedia.org. And we are talking again with Elizabeth Press from Democracy Now! And Andrew Lynn from Youth Education Coordinator for Manhattan Neighborhood Network, and most importantly, independent filmmakers bringing Still We Ride up to Troy on Thursday, October 27th.
Thanks, Alice.
Okay, look forward to seeing you there.
Okay, thanks a lot.